Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers. There are jewelry stores, then there's Zadok's. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, Basetown? Hey, what a way to start your Monday. It's The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5. Nick's here, Barry's here, I'm here. For the next 3 hours, we're going to just cut it up, have some fun, talk sports and things the way we normally do with you and our suspects. So, fellas, what's going on?
What up, man?
What's going on, people?
All good, dude. All good in the neighborhood. Ready to start another week.
Did you boys have a good weekend?
You did. Boy, you brought good luck to your Cougs, Nick. They whooped some ass.
The one game I attend, and they win. Yeah. Now you got to keep the streak going when you go to the Memphis game, Joel.
Yeah, I've been worried about
it. Yeah, Nick and I are 2-0.
Oh, that's right, because you went, and they won.
And they won.
Now it's on
so you.
You
beat Tulane. He at least beat a big... Cincinnati's tough.
Listen.
I'm just saying, green waivers.
I did what I could, all right? I just played the schedule that's in front of me. I can't.
Because literally, the conference championship comes down to what? Cougs and Cincinnati half game out of the top spot, I believe. So that's going to be a big game Sunday.
It's going to be interesting to see how far they go, because I remember Barry mentioning that article about the sleeper teams.
Yep.
That could either potentially make it to the Final Four or win it all. I don't know which one. What was it? The Final Four?
Final Four. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they were on there. I didn't get to watch it, but you guys were talking about it just before the show started, and the comment I made to Joel, because apparently it was close in the first half.
Yeah, it was a close game in the first half.
But I told him, when the Cougs decide to get after you on defense, there's nothing you can do about it.
If they decide to
smother you defensively, they're going to.
It's a good point, because you know what? They're not small ball like the Rockets. They do have a couple of big bodies they can throw out there. But because they have almost cloned like 4 or 5 guys that have the long wingspan, rangy in the 6'6"-ish range, and can guard anywhere from smaller guards to bigger players. And Kelvin's a defensive coach.
Oh, yeah.
So he can get it. You're right. They can get after you in a hurry. That's why I said defense travels in the NCAA tournament, no matter what time zone you're in. It's one thing to say you're not making shots if you're a three-point shooting team, but you can always play defense.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that grind that they have on defense translates to their offensive rebounding, too. Like they're a good offensive rebounding team, I feel like. And I feel like they're like that grind-out team that's willing to do the dirty work in the paint to get there. So, yeah, I like the team. I'm obviously a Cougs, so I want them to do well. But, no, man, seeing them in person for the first time like that.
You think about what Barkley used to say about, to your point, about rebounding, and it translates to just overall defenses. The majority of it is desire. How much do you want it, and can you go out and get it, like, athletically and, you know, and from a standpoint of positioning and things like that? It's not about, dude, do you have the touch, do you have the hang time?
Think about Dennis Rodman. He wasn't the tallest guy on the floor. He wasn't the biggest guy. It was pure. With Rodman, it was nothing but desire to get the basketball. That's it.
Well, much like, you know, they say about the heart and soul of the Rockets. I mean, with PJ Tucker.
I thought you meant Covington.
I mean, height is one thing, but you can't, they always say you can't measure, you know, the amount of the size of a man's heart.
I mean, you can. You just have to take it out first, and then you can measure.
Did you take anatomy and physiology in college?
I mean,
oh, that's college. Just... That's, yeah, that's a different.
Was that a I, didn't
even
go,
I didn't even realize I was going all the way into the college. Well, I'm just saying, took anatomy and physiology. You don't want to dissect a heart once it's just not beating anymore.
Okay, well, let's just look at the facts. You said you can't measure a man's heart, and I said you can. You just have to take it out first. Where's the lie?
He's dead.
Okay.
And then he can't help you get rebounds and hustle points.
But at that point, you measure it. So I just pointing that out. Lone Star.
I barely got through dissecting a rat in high school, man.
Oh, the frog thing was enough.
I did the rat.
Oh, so you did a rat? They did a rat at yours?
Yeah, or a mouse. We didn't do a rat. We did a mouse, but we didn't do.
Easier to catch.
We didn't do frogs.
Low budget.
Our school was pretty clean. We didn't have mice, so they had to go out and get frogs.
I was going
to
say, Nick's going the low budget approach. we got a lot of rodents out by the dumpster. We can just use them for science class.
That's like HISD. They're like, it just saves money. We'll just use all the rats and the mice running around the schools.
So we'll true just, story.
We don't have that fancy suburban money going out and getting frogs.
In college, anatomy and physiology was required. So I was like, okay. So I go in, and the lady is a huge fan of our baseball team. So I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. And all of a sudden, she starts with the whole, so when we get into the cadaver.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, when you say get into the cadaver, she's like, oh, we've got several. I've named one George, one Mike.
No.
And so when you guys start getting it, and I'm like thinking to myself, like, we're really going to go look at dead bodies.
Name me Bennett because I ain't in it. I ain't doing that.
I'm going to tell you something.
No, thank you.
So it was one thing, like the first time she's like showing you something from the back and the shoulder blade, and then she turns it over so that she can show you like the front part. When they turn the cadaver over, all the formaldehyde starts rolling out of it, and people are just passing out and falling by the wayside. And you're like, oh, this is going to be an underattended class from now on. And one day, I kid you not, she brings out, you know, like the helmet cases at an autograph shop?
Yes, right? Yes.
Okay. She brings out a cube like that, only you can just see the edges of it. She's got like a drape over it. And she starts talking, and all of a sudden, she pulls the drape off, and we're looking at the profile of a dude's head.
No, she brought a head in a box?
Wait, yeah. So it gets worse. So she shows us the profile, and she's like, so now when we start studying brain function and all these other things, I'm going to show you using this example here of exactly like how your sinus passages work and all this stuff. And we're all kind of going, at some point she's turning that thing around, right? So then we're already a little freaked out.
Yeah. Oh, obviously.
She turns it around, and there's this huge gasp in the room as we're staring at literally what goes on in your head.
A half a face or something?
No, this is like the brain.
Oh, no.
All that stuff. And here's the worst part. She's like, she starts laughing. She goes, and let me tell you guys, this is tricky. She's like, because the other night when I was getting this one ready, and we're like, this one ready. She goes, I was getting this one ready, and I had the circular saw. She goes, and I had a few too many wines, and I lost it and got a little crooked. And then I'm thinking, well, I got to get another head. I'm like, Whoa, my God. Hannibal Lecter. What are we doing?
That's a real thing that happened.
Oh, Mrs. Culver, she was awesome too. But she was just like, she laughed it off. She goes, huh. So I just found I got another one, and we just started, and that was a clean cut, and we were ready to go. And I was like, oh, my goodness.
Oh, no. I couldn't.
Yeah, I had
couldn't
to go through all that.
That wouldn't fly these days, right? I'm assuming.
I don't know.
I mean, or maybe for education.
I guess.
Yeah, I don't know how that works, but I would think.
I would think you still have to use cadavers.
I think you would definitely use cadavers. And so I guess, because we asked all kinds of questions after that too, and I guess a lot of people, when they say they donated their body to science.
That's what it is.
Whether it's you know, people that are homeless or however they do it, they get cash before they die.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they can do like, it's like almost like they get the cash before they die, and then their body is donated to science.
How much?
I don't know.
Well, I mean,
maybe
you might want to look into that. Pool to pay for.
They could study you with the widow's peak, and then if they want to work on that,
appraise your organs? Like, all right, you've been drinking a lot, so we're only giving you $20 for this.
No,
living.
You'd be worth more.
Wouldn't that be great?
They cut me open. They're like, bro, we're not giving you any money for your liver, Nick.
You're missing the point. This is where bad is good, because they want to show you the effects that certain things can have on the body.
Now,
so that would be worth more, because it's harder to find.
Like alcohol to liver, smoke to lungs.
Exactly right.
Interesting.
Brain cells and weed.
There's something to think about there.
I can sell my messed up liver for thousands of dollars, probably.
Hmm.
Yeah, she was.
This is what ketchup does to your intestines. That'd be Joel.
Yeah, and here's the other thing, because then she would single us out because she went to all of our games. And she, you know, again, no, obviously after the wine story, there's no basically holding back.
That's it.
And she's like, today we're going to look at from the esophagus to the stomach. And let me just tell you, having watched Joel pitch the other day with my stomach, well, you could, if you could have seen what was going on in my stomach, like, is he going to get this guy out? And I'm like, oh, really?
Oh, my God.
Like, come on. But that's who she was. And that's, you know what? It made it easier to take the class. Because if you had like a really like, you know, nerdy, stick to the book kind of guy. I don't know, man. I think that would have been worse.
There's no way I could take a class like that. I just, no. I don't want to see dead bodies. I don't want to see.
I was not a fan.
Organs and all that stuff. I'll pass.
Of all the things that, like, that, you know, I was told about in college, everything like that, that was one I did not see coming. Like, I remember calling home to my parents on the weekend.
They don't have cadavers at Lone Star, so I didn't have to.
And they literally, it's them. Like a gurney, like a hospital with the sheet over it.
Oh, no.
But the whole room smells like that formaldehyde.
Yeah.
And it's just, ugh, it's nasty.
Better you than me. I'm glad I didn't have to go through that. I don't even know how
do
we
what
got
you
got
to do to get a degree. So I got that paper. True. So at least that
there
helped me.
There you go.
But I'm telling you, I thought, literally, I dreaded accounting. I didn't know that I was going to walk into a room with dead people.
So. You're like, you know what? I'll go to accounting.
Yeah, this I'll take a lot more notes in accounting now because anything's better than that.
So I want to know how much you get paid. We have to find that out before the end of the show. How much do you get if you agree to donate your body to science? Now, there's donating your body to science, right, which I guess is free. Because
when you do your driver's license or whatever, when you're donating your organs, you mean.
Well, I donated my organs, but that's for people. Like if somebody needs a heart
or a liver
or whatever.
Or you're in a terminal accident, kidney. But they keep your body alive so they can donate the organs.
But but it sounds like this would be different if you're offering up your body for science.
I really do.
Donating means you're giving away. So I don't want to donate
know if
my
it's
body
changed
to
science. Over the years.
I want to whore my body.
But
to
we
science.
Were asked when we asked her about it. It essentially was like, you know, like Mike was more of a street person, but you know he donated his body and he made a little cash on it or something like. I don't know how that worked.
Well, I'm gonna Google it at the break.
Yeah, we'll try and find that out. Okay, we got plenty to talk about. Rockets had a huge win against the Celtics. They've won 6 in a row. The Roughnecks are 4-0, the only undefeated team in the XFL. So that's another positive for H-Town. Lance McCullers made his first appearance on the mound since Tommy John surgery.
Yes.
So we can talk about that. And, of course, you can get it on the show, too. HR&P listener line is the best way to do that, 713-780-3776. You can call that number, you can text that number, and you can always reach us on Twitter at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry is Funny, as we're just getting started on The Usual Suspects. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. P. Randizzle tweeted over the weekend he got his lowest electricity bill ever since switching to Infuse Energy, and he could not be happier. And you and all the other suspects can get exactly the same kind of deal and get in on it just like he did, and it's very simple to do. All you got to do is call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, or you can log on to infuseenergy.com. But I encourage you to call because you're going to get a human being on the phone and not an automated system. They're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them, and their sole goal is to find the best rate and the best deal they can possibly get for you. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, you get a $25 bill credit, and they go from there. But simply put, they have the best ratings possible from the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. 5 out of 5 stars. That means they take care of their customers and they keep coming back. It is really that simple. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. Believe me when I tell you, you need to infuse energy into your life.
My name is Stephen A. Smith and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey! Keeping it rolling on The Usual Suspects on a Monday fun day in the big city as we start a new week in a new month. Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio. First show of March.
New week, who dis? No?
No.
Okay.
But okay.
Fair enough.
So, where do we start, boys? I know that John Granato would wish that we would start with your... You want to do it? Your 4-0.
No, you do.
You don't want to sit on the R?
No.
No?
Well, no. You brought it up. You have to do it now.
I don't have to.
No, you have to. That's the rule. Remember, we went over the rules before the show.
Nick, are you voting?
And if we mention them,
no. That was not a rule that we agreed to.
Nick, you were there.
I feel like I couldn't remember that.
Okay, now.
Besides, you're the one who's been doing it since day one.
Yeah, you've been doing it since day one. You're the only one.
Yeah, but you can't. It's like you can't throw to me and just, I'm your dancing street monkey that does what you want.
Why not? They do it with me and the hammer. Well, I got to do that all the time.
You got to put your foot down. You need a hammer.
I have.
And they want you to do that.
Another game.
Yes.
Where Houston prevails over Dallas is always a good thing.
Of course.
And the fact that the Roughnecks are the only undefeated team in the XFL. So, again, as people keep saying, you know, what do you think about the Roughnecks? I mean, it's just not, you know, here's the thing. They're not trying to be NFL football. The fact that the NFL website is actually promoting the XFL is a good thing, which I saw this weekend.
Oh, really?
And, like I said, if you're going to be in a new league, whether it's considered a premier, you know, top four league in the country like baseball, basketball, football, and hockey, or it, for whatever in between, if your city's in it and you're undefeated and you're winning, it's better than the alternative. It's a great story right now.
I agree. You know who they're starting to remind me of a little bit? Houston Gamblers.
Okay.
Remember the Gamblers?
Yes.
You weren't
Jim
here
Kelly.
For that, were you?
Jim Kelly, though, right?
Were you here in 84?
No.
You hadn't gotten here yet?
No.
Yeah, Jim Kelly, Houston Gamblers. It was a big deal. Houston was in love with the Gamblers. They ran the run and shoot. They were a fun team. They were a fun squad to root for. And I remember I went to Gamblers games with my mom.
Yeah?
It was, we loved it.
It was Jim Kelly that was coaching?
Yes, I said, yeah. He was their quarterback. I mean, here's the thing. You look at it and you say, look, it's like the Cinderella story because I wasn't sold that June Jones was going to be right for this league. You know, I knew that, you know, he had the open offense and it worked at Hawaii and it, you know, and then he got the job, I think it was SMU. But, you know, I was wondering, has it passed him by? And with the short turnaround to try and get the league off its feet, is it going to work? Are the players going to buy in? But, man, you know, each week
so
it
far,
seems
so
like
good.
They're pulling, you know, another player pulls out big plays. Another receiver had a big game. You know, PJ is just slinging it all over and looking like a mini little Deshaun sometimes with his escapability. But they got a big play at the end of the game, and the guy makes a hell of a play on an interception, and all of a sudden they're 4-0, and it's like, this is fun.
Yeah, it is fun, and it's good for – I'm happy for the guys that are on that squad because, you know, they're getting some good looks, and it's cool to see the fans supporting the team. I think that's awesome.
I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
You looked at Twitter.
Because you're like, if you're the XFL and you do this again, you're like, hey, let's run it back. Let's see what we can do. And you cross your fingers and you hope this isn't a complete failure within a few weeks. But I think the turnout has been really good.
They did a really good job of keeping the integrity of the game, but also making the product completely different. And I like the helmet cam. I mean, I did see some people criticize the fact that they appreciate the element of surprise and knowing what play is coming up sometimes ruins it for them, but I'm okay with it. I like it. I like the helmet cam. I like the on-field stuff and production that they do, so I appreciate it. I think it's a different product than the NFL, and that's what they should be doing.
Well, Granato, and to your point, Barry, I mean, the opener you would think would be the most highly attended game of the year just because of the whole uniqueness and everybody wants to see what it's about. Their inquiring minds want to know. They're going to show up. But Brian Michael Cooper was on with Granato late last week, the president of the Roughnecks, and he was saying that they've already got more tickets sold for this game coming up against Seattle this coming weekend than they did for the opener.
Wow.
And remember, for the opener, they had to open up the second level, and fans wanted, you know, were pouring in. So the environment's only going to get better, especially when they keep on winning. We know how Houston is.
I was going to say, what have we said about Houston?
Yep.
This is a bandwagon city through and through. If you win, we love you. You don't.
They hate the term
rough who?
Fair weather.
So we'll
go bandwagon.
No, they're both.
But boy, when a team is winning, the jump on is something fierce.
I feel like it's a fair label. But if any of these other teams that are doing bad right now, how hard is it to be an XFL fan? Like, you're excited about this new team that's playing in your city, the NFL is over, and your team sucks. How do you get into the XFL?
Right.
Like, how?
Like, what are the – I don't know what the standings are currently.
I haven't looked at them either.
I'm on the XFL website. It should be here.
And Dallas only had one loss coming in. So that was a big win for them in a lot of ways. But, you know, the other thing that you look at, and it, you know you've really arrived when the Roughnecks website will actually take pot shots. But fans were actually going, oh, this is what it looks like when a crowd for their last home game, when a crowd shows up before the game starts in Houston. And I'm like, dang.
No, that's good.
They're going at it.
Roughnecks are 4-0. The Renegades or the Dallas Renegades 2-2. The LA Wildcats are 1-3. And the Seattle Dragons are 1-3. And up. So it's a great point. You wonder, is anyone in Seattle right now excited about the Seattle Dragons because they're 1-3?
You know what was weird? Their game was on TV, and like Bobby Wagner and some of the Seahawks were actually on the field.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
And you're like, really? Mm-hmm. That's a different look. And then the Tampa Bay game throws you off too because they're playing – where the big Buccaneers ship is in the end zone and everything like that.
Oh, are they playing in the NFL stadium?
Yeah, they're playing I think they're playing in the NFL stadium there because I saw the big Bucs ship and I'm going, now that would be a tough look because now you're trying to outdo what's already the number one game in the city.
Yeah, it's such a weird, I guess, how they chose these teams. I wonder if they thought, well, we'll go to cities that either love football or are dying for sports. I don't know, but Tampa seems like a weird choice to me.
There was a couple of awkward choices.
St. Louis, I get because they don't have football and they're a great sports town, and so you want to give them something
and they
to root
lost,
for.
Yeah, and they lost having the Rams. Lost they the Rams was heartbreaking for them.
So Tampa to me seems like, I mean, any Florida city is more of a kind of like Houston in a way, where it's a destination city. You know, yeah, there's people born there, but a lot of people from the East Coast, a lot of older folks like to move to Florida and retire. So you get a migrant population, so to speak, from other cities.
No, I'm with you. I'm surprised considering the number of teams in the league in its entirety. I was shocked that Tampa was one.
Yeah, and it's a fine line, right? Because you know that there are markets like Nashville is one of the leading expansion cities for baseball. Mm-hmm. And so is Portland. But there are also question marks about, do they have enough just pure population to support a team like that coming to town?
Yeah.
So you kind of run the fine line. We mentioned about the fact that Chicago doesn't have a team, but New York and LA do.
Yeah.
So you missed out on a big market there.
To get Tampa a team.
Yeah, and Tampa has a team. So you're wondering, you're like, well, I don't know where you draw the line between facilities and population then, you know, sports fandomonium.
You feel like if they would have put one in Portland?
I'm telling you. I think it'd have gone well.
Yeah.
Because quite simply, the example that's there for everyone to see is the soccer team, the Timbers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we would travel there for a road trip and we think the Dynamo gets good support, the Timbers, like that's a citywide event when they play a soccer game.
Really?
Yeah. And soccer's huge up there. But then you look at the guy that used to be the TV play-by-play voice of the Blazers. He's the president of the Portland for Major League Baseball organization. Russell Wilson and Sierra are now investors and they want an MLB team up there. The list that they have for season tickets and stuff already, Pacific Northwest, say what you want, but they support their sports.
That's cool.
I think Portland would have been a decent city for it.
You know, the optimistic view would be, you know, maybe they're not done. Maybe they did have a team in another city, but it made an odd number of teams, right? You need an even number of teams to make it work. So maybe, you know, I could see the XFL, if they really have success, like they've been talking about, at least on Twitter and stuff, that they're eventually going to expand it. Yeah. And they're obviously going to have to expand it two teams at a time, right? Because they can't have an odd number of teams in the league, I would imagine. Unless you have a bye in the postseason, but like where it's set up that way.
I would be interested to see what attendance is. Because if you're I'm thinking, I don't know that
overall,
the support in Tampa is going to be nearly what you would get in like
another city. Right, I'm with you.
I think overall average attendance is more like an NBA game. I think you're in the 18 to 20 range at the high side. Seattle had a monstrous first game.
For the XFL?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because the Roughnecks are only getting about that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to pull up the score on...
I'm going to tell you something right now, boys. I'll tell you another city that it would probably hit well with. San Diego. They lost the Chargers. It was a battle over the stadium. So you can use their old rickety stadium, and people would think it's an upgrade from playing in a soccer stadium or otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Show they still have passion for a sports team. Football back in San Diego. I could see that working.
I'm not seeing a...
Phillip Rivers could be the quarterback.
Like, they're not breaking down attendance. I'm not seeing that. Like, on the XFL site on ESPN, mm-hmm. they don't even have, like, where you can go to the...
Does the box score have it? Normally, box scores have attendance.
They don't even have that. That's what I was looking for. Hmm. So you go to the XFL. Like, if you go to the NFL tab, it's got score, standing, all that stuff.
Right.
XFL is home scheduled tickets. So you go to the schedule, you go to week four, nothing. You can't click on a link. It just shows you the...
Yeah, I noticed that on ESPN. You can't you can't even get game recaps and all that stuff. So try the Fox website because they're an official partner.
Okay.
So we'll try it during the break. All right, we'll continue to roll on. If you guys want to reach us, 713-780-3776, HR&P listener line, and also home of the Houston Roughnecks.
There you go.
And you can reach us on Twitter, but we'll be back with the second half hour of the show. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. I was going to do the... No.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, you know how we do what we do for you as we start half hour number two of the show. That is, we try to give you the report and the data that backs up what we were just talking about. We're talking about XFL attendance. Based on week-to-week averages, the first week, the league was averaging 17,400.
Mm-hmm.
The second week, it went up to 19,000.
Nice.
Third week, all the way to 20,486.
Boom!
This week, back down to a little bit more, and I say a little bit more than week one, 17,554.
Damn it.
Some cities carrying their weight better than others. As we mentioned, Tampa struggling a little bit. Houston doing fairly well. Seattle is over the top.
Is it?
Seattle is drawing really, really well. Yeah, like in the 25,000-27,000 range.
Ooh, wow.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah. Okay.
But found a little bit of the information we thought we'd get to you, the peep. So they're at home this week against Seattle.
Yep.
Back at what are they calling it? Because it's the Cougs TDECU. You know, I know their basketball arena. The Fertitta
Center.
Back at
the neck.
They're calling it the cage.
Let's call it the neck. They're back at the neck. Can we make that happen?
I think you're onto something.
Yeah. You don't come to the neck and expect to win. Home of the necks. It's the neck. No. Okay.
Martin Lawrence did that bit. Remember when he had a hole in his neck and he was like, "Oh, that's some good neck." Remember that? Remember that bit?
Yes. That's some good neck.
That's what you're saying? Bit.
Oh, yeah. What? No, we're not going. Joel, are you voting no?
He didn't like the neck at all.
But I'm thinking you can't really go to the Derek.
No. It's the neck.
It's something oil related, but okay. If you want to call it the neck.
Come to our neck of the woods. Huh? Who's? What? I'm doing things. All right.
Now marketing for your Roughnecks.
They don't want that. Be calling it the Big Gizzard or something.
Barry the Laser Laminack, because he's laser focused on how to market your squad.
No, we got to call it the Gullet. There you go.
You would have too much fun with it, and they would fire you if you were the social media guy for the Roughnecks.
Y'all coming to the Gullet this weekend?
Brian Michael Cooper walks in your office. Barry, I don't know if we... I don't think that's going to fly. Barry's like, no, people are going to love it. Even if they don't, we get a laugh out of it. Let's do it.
The gullet, what does that even mean? I know it's just like your throat, like your stuff, but it's in the neck. So what? Why not? We'll call it the big gullet. Come on down.
If he was responsible for their Twitter, over under 10 tweets before they fired him. I don't think you would last 10
Barry
tweets.
Barry would make Chad Shanks look like a long-time employee.
He was the gun to the guy horse that head?
Yeah, fired from the Rockets for doing the
I would have emojis. So much fun, though, for those 10 tweets.
Yeah, you would be good at it until you had too much fun. You know what I mean? That would be the problem, is that you're having too much fun with it.
Like, Dallas is the what are they?
The Renegades.
The Renegades website took a shot. Their Twitter took a shot at Houston Friday leading up to the weekend.
So if I tweeted out this week, if I'm okay, I'm the Roughnecks Twitter guy, and I'm like, this week, you know, your necks are playing the gays. Oh, I forgot the D. That would probably
Well, Raheel was having a good old time calling it Gay Pride.
You would be in trouble.
He's like, do you think in Houston, John, you're going to go see a lot of Gay Pride for the Renegades?
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And maybe they're going to have a Gay Pride parade.
So he's not fired?
Parade.
Why would I be?
That's why I appreciate the Wendy's guy, because he does such a good job of walking that line without passing it.
He does, but I was just going to say, Barry would make the Wendy's guy look tame.
You think so?
I think you would.
I think it'd be funnier, actually.
And you would have erased it, crossed it, and basically made it look like it had never existed.
You know, I know this is supposed to be tearing me down, but it's making me feel really good.
No, it's not supposed to be tearing you down. We're just being real.
I think it would be funner if you ran it. I would love it. In today's society, someone's going to fire you. Like, someone's going
to. I would make sure you negotiated your own contract to state that there is no censoring of what you're about to put. Just live with it.
If you hire me, as long as I don't curse, and okay, can I curse a little? I won't know F words. I'll keep it, you know, rated R. I'll keep it where
rated R.
Anything I couldn't say on radio, I won't say on the Twitter. But
you can't initialize it either.
I'll be using bitch a lot on that Twitter.
I could just see you telling a Roughnecks opponent to S a D.
Oh, yeah. No, that would probably.
And they'd be like, you can't use that language. Actually, I just used letters. I didn't use the language.
Actually.
That's a technicality.
Yeah.
You can get by on that on this show. I don't know if you can get by on that as the head of web development and social media for the Roughnecks.
It would be a fun thing to do. We should start. I wonder if I could, like, hey, Roughnecks, let me run your Twitter. They were like, no, thank you.
That would be an interesting concept.
I mean, they're kind of confident already. Well, the main.
Well, Joel knows the PR guy.
I know the president. I know Brian Michael Cooper.
Yeah, let's make this happen. Give me that Twitter account.
He was on when you were out. So you got to talk to him in the lobby for the job.
Yeah, we had him on. That's right.
Why not?
You know what? That would be an interesting. You might be onto something overall.
You just
have to worry about the results. But you could actually do that where you have people would
guest
be on
Twitter.
Guest Twitter.
Yeah.
People would get all up in that and be fired up about that.
Sure.
That would be amazing.
You just made it sound sexual, but you're right. They would get all
but
up
I'm
in
saying,
that.
Like, you can't have Mario Ellie do guest Twitter for the Rockets.
Oh, that
because
would be great.
He's not expected. They wouldn't expect him to be honest.
Yeah, but it would still be cool,
but
though.
But if you took someone that wasn't.
Especially, look, if you're a fan of the team, Mario would be a homer, but you would love that.
Like this whole Vernon Maxwell thing, which has gotten just
they should
a
let him
massive
tweet from
amount
the Rockets.
Of life. His fight with the Utah Jazz fans.
It's a beautiful thing.
The Rockets, it would be risky. But
100%. He's had tweets that the Rockets would not approve of.
I was going to say, language-wise and otherwise.
Oh, yeah.
There's one that I screenshotted and I sent to him, but he didn't get in trouble for it. But I was like, wow, that's borderline right there for the Rockets. I don't know if that's borderline. Actually, that crossed
the line.
You're
talking about when the kids were warming up in the gym?
Oh, that was
great. I want to remember exactly which one I screenshotted.
But I would say from a language perspective alone, you'd have to really be like, you know, the 7-second delay on radio. There'd have to be like some filter that someone's approving before it goes out, because that gets a little, that goes way over the line too.
Yeah,
Max would be great if he could just kind of, you'd have to get him to really understand the concept of.
But then you're like, not to interrupt you, then you're editing his personality. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
that's the whole reason
that's
you're
the problem.
Him in.
So it's like, he'd be great as long as he understands what's too far.
I think you're onto something here, Joel.
Otherwise, it'd be awesome.
Especially with the XFL, where they have a little more leeway. They're having a little more fun with it.
I think it's a
guest
I think,
Twitter
I think
once
it'd be
a
awesome.
Week.
I think it'd be fantastic.
While during the game, you live tweet from, I think that's a really smart, you should text your boy and tell
him. Oh, it was about the Mavs jerseys. That one.
What did
I'll
say?
I'll send it to you.
What did it say?
I don't want to say it out loud. I can't. It's bad.
Why?
It's not good for radio, I don't think.
Oh, it's not?
Okay. Let Barry be the judge of that.
Yeah, well, if I'll say the letters.
Yeah.
He said, these Mavs jerseys are GAF.
Oh, yeah.
That one.
They're
There's
happy.
No way
They're
the Rockets
happy.
Would approve
They're
of that.
Happy
no way,
AF.
Joel. You would know better than I would.
No, that's not
that is not an approved Rockets tweet.
They're really happy jerseys.
You
they're
thought,
just happy.
You thought Daryl's tweet
the most...
created a stir? Let me just tell you what that
one
would
did too?
Do. Oh my goodness! Because the league would be on line one.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you're not doing.
He's Maxwell, so I'm a Rockets fan, so I'm all for it. But that's just I don't know how. How Fertitta would. I know Les Alexander would definitely not approve.
I'm talking Adam Silver would have a problem with that.
Oh, that's even worse.
I'm talking from a league-wide perspective.
Yeah.
When they talk about equality and all the things that they're on their values list, no way that flies. That's where I said you got to understand that even if you push the envelope,
weird,
you can't push it that far.
I don't think, I mean, I don't remember. Oh, is this the ones that look like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air letters?
Kind of, yes.
Is that the ones?
I think they were.
Like
I think they
were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't feel like that using that term in that situation.
Is that bad?
It's No. He's not meaning it to be derogatory. Like back in the day. Well, back in the day, we would use that word, but it was never meant to be. You know, I don't know how to.
You're basically sounding. Like, I mean, I'm not like criticizing you, but you sound like Eminem because remember when he was using the F word for
right.
Okay, he like, got all kinds of backlash, and
he
removed
calling people a cigarette.
Yes, yes.
In England.
Yes, and he removed it from his lips.
Here's the thing, though. You're talking about back
a
in the
happy
day
cigarette.
Yep. When we're no longer in that day, and we're living in a day and age when everything is under
like
a microscope.
That excuse won't fly anymore.
But what I'm saying is those terms, the R word, like back in the day, you'd be like, bro, you're really acting R word. And it wasn't like a shot at people that were mentally challenged. Right. That was just something you called your boy. Same thing if you were to say he was gay. That was just a thing where you weren't trying to take a shot. You weren't like, I don't know.
You know, the first time I was told not to use the R word, I wrote it in a paper. They're like, you can't use that.
Really?
So, I was like.
You turned it in for school?
Like in the sixth grade, I turned in a paper with that word in.
Really?
Yeah.
What was the paper on?
I don't even remember. But they, she's
I hope
big
it wasn't
red
like
circle,
biomechanics or something.
Big red circle, big note written on the side.
Did you fail?
I had to do the whole paper.
I was
not allowed
to.
I was not allowed to submit that paper.
Professor would say you can redo.
She
could have
failed me easily, like
for that word.
I think so because she was trying to teach a lesson.
No
she was
way.
Trying to teach
that
me a lesson.
If she believed that he legit didn't know that you couldn't use that word,
she wouldn't have let me submit another essay again.
She wouldn't. I don't know. I just feel like
I was 10. I mean, come on,
see,
11.
You're writing a paper at 10?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Really?
Absolutely. Middle school? They didn't make you write papers?
They did. He just don't remember. It was so long ago.
Middle school is 10? No way it isn't.
I've written multiple players.
He's blocked
papers
it out
because
they used to have to chisel them on stone tablets, and it took forever. He was like, man, forget this.
Plus all the calluses I had just to get my car started on my feet.
All Joel's papers were in hieroglyphics, bro. It was awful.
If you went to middle school at 10, you were advanced.
Really?
I'm just telling you. At 10?
You're 10 turning 11 in the sixth grade.
Yeah.
You're 11 turning 12 in the 7th. You're 12 turning 13.
You graduate at 18.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
so
senior.
Right.
17 junior.
16, 15. 14, 13, 12.
What the hell are you guys doing in middle school at third grade?
You could be 11, though.
No, you're 10 turning 11 in the 6th grade, for sure. Like, I turned 11 when I was 6th grade.
Oh, really?
I was 10 turning 11 in the 6th grade.
Okay. So he was more like... Like for me,
because
I turned
my birthday
18.
was in May, so it's later.
Like, well, mine too, but I turned young. 18 when I graduated.
Right. That yeah. So you're probably like what 2 weeks? When's your birthday? May something.
May 29.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So yeah, what's up? We're just advanced.
Everyone is convinced that is the case. All right, as we continue to roll on, before we hit the break, I do want to tell you about Fitz Roofing. If you've had some roofing issues lately with all the rain that we've had in the area, and you realize you either have a leaky roof that needs to be fixed, you've been thinking about putting a new roof on your house, there's only one place to go. It's Fitz Roofing. Because they're not like these deposit thieves and storm chasers and sketchy roofers that just want your money up front, and then they're just not going to do very good work, and you can't ever get them to come back and finish the deal. Fitz Roofing is locally owned and operated and dedicated to the people of Houston, Texas. Therefore, they use the best product on the market, CertainTeed Shingles, and they're a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company, which only 1% of the roofers in the U.S. have the criteria to get that kind of elite status. They got it. You need it. You go to Fitz. Their base warranties longer and better than your average roofer, and they just take care of the people of Houston, Texas. They got an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on both Facebook and Home Advisor. I'm telling you, if you call them and get in touch with them, you won't be disappointed. And by the way, it won't cost you a cent. All you got to do is call 832-521-3001. 832-521-3001. You get a free, no-obligation inspection today. They come to you, tell you what they can do, and go on the rest of their business day. You want them to come back, just reach back out. They're going to come back, do great work before, during, and after the sale, and make sure you're 100% satisfied. It's the way they do business. Check them out on the web as well, FITZRoofing.com. But like I said, call them 832-521-3001 for that free, no-obligation inspection. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, the Roughnecks weren't the only team with a big victory this weekend. If you weren't out and about kibitzing with your friends on a Saturday night, boy, was there an entertaining basketball game in Beantown as the Rockets and Celtics needed overtime to settle it all. And the Rockets got a huge one-point win, six in a row now for the team. And I know that we've talked about different things with this squad over the last couple of weeks and for the entire season. But boy, if you're not paying attention to what Russell Westbrook's doing lately and the fact that I know Harden gets A1 pub in terms of in order of guys on this squad. But what Russ has been able to do, and we mentioned it last week, especially since he was so awful from three-point range, that right after that Christmas game against Golden State, he just decided he wasn't doing it anymore. And with I guess that was the first step. But my goodness, the way he's playing right now, he's on another planet.
Are you prepared to call him the heart and soul of the Rockets?
PJ Tucker is that.
No, are you prepared to call Russell Westbrook the heart and soul of the Rockets?
I'm prepared to call Russell Westbrook the best player on the Rockets.
Oh, wait, what?
Yep.
Really? Are you just
pulling
my leg?
I'm seriously prepared to say that because you brought this up.
Okay.
When do you get to the point where if you were going to get rid of one of the two and everybody just immediately would assume it's Westbrook, when do you start looking at, and you were very, very eloquent in the way you put this and astute in saying, whether it be Dwight Howard or whoever they brought in along the way, Chris Paul and others, to play alongside Harden, at some point you got to face the facts that maybe it's not them, it's you. And I'll say that to also say this. Great win for the Rockets, and I'm not poo-pooing on them in any way. But when you look at who played big, especially down the stretch in the final 3 to 4 minutes of regulation and then in overtime, aside from the two free throws at the very, 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 very end by Harden, he missed three threes from way too deep when they needed a bucket to put it away. He was just kind of all over defensively and around the ball on both ends without doing anything. He did get one layup. But overall, when you compare that to what Russ did, to what Covington did, a guy you've been on.
When you go 4-17 from three-point awful. Range, that's terrible. I don't care who you are and what you're able to contribute. And at some point, you it's almost like, I mean, Russ was smart enough to stop shooting. Do you? And I know that that's not the mentality of a shooter nor the mentality of the Rockets, but damn. 4-17?
Well, and Barry, what do they say? If your three's not going, what's the best thing you should do? Get to the bucket. Get yourself an easy two. Yeah.
Get a mid-range.
Or get to the line, which James is very astute at doing.
Didn't. 3 of 3.
Do one of those two things, which you're great at doing, and maybe you get yourself going. But instead, when I know small ball in the way they play for 3/4 of the game, but in the final 2 minutes, when all you need is one bucket to basically ice it, and he's pulling 35-footers that aren't even close, and you're like, okay, and you haven't been actually making those during the course of the game, go to what's been getting you buckets all night. Let Russ penetrate.
Yeah. They were 15 of 55 from three-point range in that game, and that's 27%.
Yeah,
and
it's not good.
So the fact, but I agree, that's terrible, but the fact that they were still able to beat a quality opponent like the Celtics says something about Westbrook, and because he only shot two of those 55 threes, and he made one of them. So it does say something about him, though. He had 27 field goals total. Two of those are three-pointers. So you see where he's taking mid-range shots and getting to the bucket and put the team on his shoulders, really.
I mean, follow dunk was impressive.
That was great.
Nasty.
And the fact that when he got to start overtime, he got the and one. and just looked at the whole crowd and was like, and one. And then Kendrick Perkins this morning was talking about the fact that he and Paul Pierce were sitting behind the basket. And Russ was really giving it to the Celtics when he was scoring and things like that. And Perk said he stood up and was like, really, Russ, is it like that? And he's like, they can't stop me. And until they can, I'm going to keep busting their ass.
Yeah.
I love that mentality. I love it.
I do, too. And I absolutely love Robert Covington as a Rocket.
I do, too, man.
So far, I like this is a whole different team. And I realize it's because Russ changed his game. But swapping Capella for Covington, this is fun so far.
You're on board. Now, the one that I'm a little skeptical of, are you sure they got rid of your guy, Nick? You're okay with this?
I am, because I feel like it's a better situation for the time being. I've been on record saying I don't know if this is going to be a championship team, but I am on record saying I feel like it's a better situation. Ideally, if you could have kept Clint Capella and maybe added some pieces, obviously the budget and the salary cap and so many of the other variables that the NBA provide you didn't allow that. It would have been better, obviously, if you could have kept Clint Capella, but that was a situation where you couldn't. They were already in a situation where they didn't have much to offer outside of Clint Capella's semi-big, however way you want to call it, contract. That's all they had to offer. It may make me sound like I'm defending the Rockets, but I just like the way they play. I told you about the cleanup defense that Covington had, and I love it.
There's nothing wrong with defending the Rockets, too, because, look, I think a lot of people had questions, whether it be D'Antoni going to complete small ball or the moves that they made or didn't make or couldn't make because, like you said, Gordon wasn't movable because he had a no trade. You're not moving your two best players. You're out of assets because you don't have many draft picks. And yet they were able to do some things that actually, for the short term, have bettered this team this year and give them a better chance to win in the playoffs, which remains to be seen. But from where they were at the start of the season and even before when they made the trade for Westbrook to where they are now is night and day. And now you have teams at least focused on they could be a real bitch in the playoffs.
What I like about Covington's game that he brings to the table that a guy like Capella is unable to do is that he can contribute in a different way every single night. And so he's not limited to dunks and blocks, which is what Capella was. He could go 5 of 10 from three-point range and score 20. He could get 4 blocks. If he's only going to score like 10 points and maybe pull down 3 or 4 rebounds, but he can get 4 blocks at the rim and change the course. I mean, you're saving 8 points. But then this game against the Celtics, he can go out and pull down 16 boards and lead your team in rebounding.
16 rebounds.
And had 3 blocks and still scored 16, going 4 for 10, shooting 40% from three-point range. I mean, that's a hell of a stat line for the third option on a playoff contending team. If you go 16 points, 16 boards, 3 blocks, and you shoot 40% from three-point range. So he did it all in one night. But what I love is he could give you any one of those 4 things on any given night. It's almost like he's like, okay, where do they need me the most? Oh, they need me to crash the boards. That's what I'm going to do this game and not worry about the other stuff. It's crazy.
But to your point, and to emphasize it even further, when the third option, who still thinks probably he is the third option, Eric Gordon, have you ever seen him do that?
That's what I mean.
Versatility and put up numbers that big? You ever seen Eric Gordon get you 15 rebounds?
The only other guy that's as versatile to me on this team like Covington is Russ. Which I think right now if you take away Capella's stat line, I think Russ is leading this team in rebounds per game at 7.9.
Well, I'll give you the other one. He hasn't been around long enough, but I think the one guy that's capable of doing that too is Jeff Green, because he's kind of selfless in the fact that you need me to knock down threes. And in the first game, he made 4 or 5. He can knock down threes. You need me to guard a 6'10" guy in the post for you. I'll go take him.
Yeah.
You know, if you need me to finish on the break, I got you, and I can finish with both hands, and I can throw the hammer down.
So it sounds like what we're saying, though, in a roundabout way, is this Rockets team now is full of Swiss Army knives. Mm-hmm. You've got versatile, because even James, you know, he'll get some steals. I mean, I think he had 3 in the game. So he'll play a little defense for you, but you know, you've got Westbrook, Covington, PJ Tucker's another Swiss Army knife. Yeah. He'll pull down rebounds. So he had 3 blocks
and
in the game. He'll knock down threes. You know, so you've got a team now where, yeah, you may not have a big, but you've got a team full of guys that will do whatever is needed in any particular night, and they're capable.
And they're smart
of
players.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with Tucker. You know, we kid about him being the heart and soul or whatever, but when you look at the stuff that doesn't show up in the box score as much, absolutely, though he did get offensive rebounds, the hustle plays. He's constantly diving on the floor. He dove out of bounds to save the one ball after he was trying to get him out. He got several other big offensive rebounds, second chance opportunities late in games. Mm-hmm. And It's not always the stuff that shows up in the box score as an impressive stat line, but you realize that it's also infectious. So if you're on the defensive end and you see PJ sacrificing his body to save a basketball, next possession down, you got Covington and other guys. They might be shorter, but they're going to do that second and third jump trying to get that tipped ball and one more possession.
A couple games ago, PJ diving on the floor, gets an outlet to Harden, who gets it up the court for an easy bucket, and everybody on the team turns around and points to Tucker, who's still on his back. I don't know if you guys remember that play, but he had fallen on his back.
They wanted to give him credit for what he did.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of things that you get. So it's a fun team to watch. I'm still skeptical like you guys when the playoffs come. Yeah. But right now, you got to be enjoying watching these Rockets
play.
I'm
enjoying Covington, like
you said.
They're
surprising me.
And I think he does better with anticipation than Clint Capela. Like a part of the reason what makes you a good rebounder and a good blocker is knowing when to anticipate and knowing when to jump.
Yeah.
And I feel like Covington does a better job than that than Clint Capela.
That's
I really
great
do.
Point.
Yep.
When to stay on your feet and hold your ground and when to actually commit to blocking a shot. And the other thing is, think about how big he's been and a little bit of Jeff Green, because Caboclo hasn't done anything.
Yeah.
Because Damari Carroll hasn't done anything. But because Covington's been huge and Jeff Green's been better than adequate, no one cares about the other moves and just says, you know what?
They're deep.
As a unit, they're together, they're deeper, they're playing better basketball. They have guys that can fill the roles they needed them to fill.
I really like, I mean, when you look at that Celtics game, the four guys that came off the bench, Green, Rivers, Gordon, and McLemore, I really like
that. That's all you need.
Yeah. I really like that.
Until you play a really big team like the Lakers.
Yeah.
But again, you got to get pretty deep to get there. Yeah.
Stop us on the break.
I did watch the Clippers this weekend, however. There's a team that can play straight up man-to-man defense.
When you got guys, your bigs like Montrezl Harrell, they can run the floor.
They struggled against the 76ers without Embiid and without
but
Simmons.
But again, Nick, a lot of that
the Clippers
too
did?
Is you take
yeah. Oh, I didn't see that.
Well, they were up 11 with 5 to play, and then they started letting it slip.
Oh, they collapsed?
But here's the thing. I watched Kawhi play one-on-one defense. It's one thing to do it with one hand when a guy brings the ball in front of you. He starts with one hand, and then the minute it's even a fraction loose, here comes this other massive hand that just goes and sucks it in, and he goes. And him and Paul George defensively are ridiculous.
Man, it's funny because Friday I'm looking at the standings. I come in on Monday and look. Somehow the Jazz are now in the fifth spot.
Yeah, they're struggling right
You're
now.
You're like, whoa. 5-5 in their last 10. They did manage to win one, but Rockets and Clippers passed them up now. Rockets
they got a transfer
the
down to the struggle bus.
Yeah, that's true. All
right.
Yeah.
All right, hour in the books. Still two to go. It's the second hour of the show coming up next. 60 minutes on the clock for hour number two. Comes up right after the break. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.